Blog Talk Radio.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chang.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. What's going on, everyone? I hope everybody's doing good, man. I had an okay weekend. I know I got my boy Chris on the line. What's going on, Chris?
No, man, just chilling.
Caller from 443. Where you calling from, brother?
Yo, it's David Chen. Who the fan?
Yeah, David Chan. What's going on, brother? How you guys doing, man?
Good.
So, last week in Saturday, man, we had Paul Williams, you know, and Winky get in the ring and do their thing. And, you know, pretty much turned out, I guess, what everybody figured that was going to turn out to be like, you know, which was, you know, Winky being outworked and kind of leading it to a unanimous decision for Mr. Williams himself. You know, I don't know. There was a couple of things on there that I got to see out of Winky that I saw that he could take advantage of if he doesn't work on. You know, obviously every fighter, you know, you can – there's always something they can do to polish up. You know what I'm saying? So that's always good to always kind of review your tapes after a fight. You know, Winky, in my opinion, did he look like a sharp fighter? No. I just thought he looked like a fighter that hasn't been in there in two years and really was trying to do some stuff that he normally doesn't do, which is really put the pressure on the fight. I know the commentators and even Williams' corner was saying that Winky's legs were shot. They were no longer there. I didn't see that. I don't know about you guys, but I did not see that at all. I saw a very determined Winky. I saw a guy that was stepping in with his right jab and really pushing in his jab. You know what I mean? He wasn't holding back with that jab. Call us from 787. State your name. Where are you calling from, brother?
Yo,
Rilla from Puerto Rico. How you doing, brother?
It's all good, man. What's up, everybody?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Hold on, okay. I'm gonna see. Caller from 951. What's your name, brother? Where you calling from?
Henry from Riverside. It's Ariola's trainer.
Henry, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good, my man. How you doing?
Oh, man, you know, just kind of recapping about you guys' fight, you know, a little here and stuff. So, man, you guys got past McClain and stuff. You have four rounds it took you guys to take him out, get him out of there. What is next in store for you guys to go from there now?
A little unsure at this point. You know, there's some talk about possibly a Vitaly Klitschko fight, but obviously that's still yet to be determined, you know, this close with the with Jamil fight being done. So as of now, we're just kind of sitting, waiting, and I'm sure in the next couple of weeks we'll kind of figure out what direction we're going to be headed.
Hey, let me ask you this. You know, I know a while back there was some talk of your fighter getting in with one of the Kaliscos, preferably it was Wade. Now it seems you guys were kind of pushed back, and they gave you guys McClain and David Haye. And which me and you have talked about before is like, okay, what has David Haye really done to really deserve that shot? Does that really kind of get underneath your guys' skin, seeing that a cruiserweight moves up and he gets a shot at the title right away?
You know, it is what it is. You know, one thing Chris said that he always wanted to do was that when he got his title shot, he wanted to earn it. You know, he didn't want to, talk his way into it. He didn't want to hold the picture of someone's severed head in his hand. You know, he actually wanted to earn it, whereas, you know, David Haye, no, he obviously hasn't earned it, but I see what the Klitschkos are doing. You know, they're going to fight most likely the two most exciting young heavyweights on the scene, and, you know, you really can't fault them for that.
Now, you know, Chris is obviously has already earned it. I think everybody recognizes Chris is a bigger threat right now. I know some people would say David Haye, but really what I've been watching of Chris, I mean, you know, maybe a couple months ago if you asked me, I would have said, I don't know if Chris is ready yet. But seeing what he did to McClain, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Chris has the style to really bulldoze over the Kaliskos. You know, he has the style to be a nonstop force. And even Manion Stewart was acknowledged that. He even said it himself. He said, Latimer couldn't try to outbox Chris. You would have to basically fight him. Do you guys feel the same way now?
Well, yeah. Obviously, you know, I've always felt, you know, as we were going through the process of a few fights, so that Chris would be ready. You know, there are still a lot of doubters and naysayers, but, I mean, Chris fights the style that, like you said, is the nonstop pressure where, you know, you're not going to be able to just outbox him over 12 rounds. It's not going to happen. At some point in time, you're going to have to stand your ground and gain his respect to keep him off you, and that's going to be very difficult.
Henry, let me ask you, do you feel that you've been given the respect now, being that you're his head trainer, and there's been so much criticism, you know, about you, you know, everybody's saying Chris has got to move on, he's got to find somebody else. Do you feel, hey, look, I've gotten him this far, shut up and let me do my job?
You know what, it's like this. You know, I'm 33 years old. I'm a young trainer. I've been training Chris for 6.5, 7 years, every single one of his pro fights. You know, are there room for improvement? Absolutely, always. But I'm also the guy that brought him from what people told me was never going to amount to more than a club fighter. And here we are on the cusp of a world title fight. So I've already proven myself. You know, the people that make the decisions in Chris's career, myself, Dan Goosen, Al Haymon, as long as they have their trust in me, I could care less whether anybody says, nay, sir, I could care less.
Absolutely. You know, I know you guys pretty much get the recycled questions over and over and over, you know, like, oh, what's going on with Chris's weight? What's going on with this? You know, sum it up for me real quick, you know, because I know that there's going to be callers getting on. They're going to ask you the same recycled questions, you know, about the situation. Is it a major negative for you guys, do you feel, or is this, you know what, he's a heavyweight, man, you know, get over it?
No, you know what, I mean, look, to me, I'll be honest, I've always felt it was a fair criticism, you know, I've always felt, you know, to me, I told Chris, the questions are never going to stop till something's done about it. And, you know, the problem with Chris, it isn't that he doesn't train hard. You know, there's a real misconception that he doesn't train hard, and at times, he is hard to, you know, push, but the problem is, it's what he does in between fights, you know. You know, he's a human being. He wants to party. He wants to drink. He wants to eat. You know, I mean, he's a Mexican. So, I mean, you know, but in the gym, when it's time to buckle down for training for a fight, I mean, the guy trains hard.
Absolutely. You know, I got a caller from 951 to your area. Cool. Caller, give me
your
name.
That's my man. That's Chris right there.
Chris, what's up, brother?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, the nightmare. What happened?
What's up with you guys calling me a fat ass?
Hey, Bob, I
just read today that Bob Arum called me a disgrace.
He called you disgrace?
Yeah,
is that
Bob
right?
Arum, he called me a disgrace.
Hey,
yeah,
man,
wow.
I don't know. I don't understand why Bob would be. I don't understand why Bob would be saying that if his skin is barely hanging on his bones.
Yeah. Hey, but Bob's a great promoter, man. But you know what? This is also the guy who is trying to force feed the public Ty Fields.
Right. Hey, Chris. Hey, man. First off, Chris, congratulations, man, on your win, brother. You know, took him out in the fourth round and stuff. Big guy. But, you know, I was asking Henry, I said, hey, do you feel understated a little bit that a cruiserweight jumps up in your division and he gets the shot at one of the Kaliskos right now? Is that going to need your skin?
No. You know, he should get exposed. And if he wins, you know, my respects go out to him. You know, he did what he had to do to get that fight. He used his mouth and he talked his way into it. And you know what? He did it. You know what? What can I say about that? You know, there's nothing to say about it. But respect it? Nah, not really, you know. It is what it is.
Right, right. You know, I mean, you know, I got a lot of calls right now, Chris. Everybody wants to talk to you and stuff. But I want to just say my piece with you, you know, is, hey, I just want to know, you know, for being a Mexicano, bro, you're a big-ass vato. You know, you're big, dude. Who's tall in your family? Is your dad tall? Is your mom tall or what?
Hell no, dog. My dad's 5'5". My mom's 5'5". You know, the mailman was pretty big, but I don't know, dude.
Right. You know, because I'm sitting there, man, because I got some family. I guess, you know, I'm Chicano, and the biggest Chicano in our family is probably about 5'11". You know, I'm 5'9", so I'm like a typical Mexican. So when I see you, I'm like, that is one big-ass Mexicano in that TV, man, you know?
Let me guess, you're 5'11", about 260, 270?
Yeah, exactly, Doug, you know, and that's no disrespect to my pops, you know, he's 5'11", you know, big boy and shit, hey, but let me pass it on to Sacramento Chris. Go ahead and ask Chris the Nightmare and his trainer, Mr. Henry, a question, brother.
Yeah, first off, once again, congratulations, you guys, for this weekend's performance.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, anyways, what I want to talk about is, you know, obviously you're not going to get out of the Klitschko's in your next fight, but you want to, I don't know, I'm kind of curious as to who you guys might want to fight next, is because it seems like guys like maybe Eddie Chambers or even a Sam Peter who's coming off a loss might be good for you, just, you know, because their name's out there, and if you could get a win over them, it kind of elevates you more. But also, I don't really think those guys' styles are going to benefit you, you know, necessarily, when you do go into a Klitschko fight. So I wonder if there's anyone out there, you know, you want to possibly tackle next, either to get your name out there more or that you think would be a good opponent to prepare you for facing a what the Klitschko's may offer you.
Go ahead, Andy, take this one.
You know what? We're just going to play it by ear. You know, we're going to let the powers that be in our career, you know, with Dan Goosen and Al Haymon, we're going to let them figure it out and figure out what direction they want to move, and whatever they say, we're going to go with. You know?
And another thing with me, man, honestly, I don't give a crap, you know, type of guy. You know, whatever it is what it is. You know, if they want me to fight Eddie Chambers, I respect Eddie. You know, if it has to happen, it has to happen, you know. But if I have to fight, you know, the Nigerian Nightmare, you know, I'm going to have to take his name. I don't want him using it no more. You know, I'm going to have to copyright that.
What do you think about fighting, we just had him on recently. What do you think about a match between you and Layman Brewster?
You know what? He's going to be... You know, I respect Layman, you know. He did what he did against Klitschko. He beat him, stuff like that. But, you know, Layman Brewster is like a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of guy, you know?
Right.
You know, I'm gonna jump in real quick. You know, I've got a lot of calls for Chris, you guys. So if you're going to ask a question, make sure you ask them, you know, really quick so we can get everybody in. Also, please, no recycle questions, okay? No questions about shit that we already heard, you know, been answered by Chris and his camp. So if you guys can keep it fresh, that'd be great. David Chen, Solarplex Rider, There Will Be Blood Fight Show. Go ahead and ask your question, brother.
Hey, Chris, let me congratulate you on your knockout, man. That was real good looking.
Thank you. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, real quick, about the way you fought in this last fight, you know, before this fight, people were saying, you know, maybe your chin has been questionable because you went down your last fight. In your interview, you said, hey, I don't want to go down no more, and you proved it. A few times, McClain did catch you. Do you feel that you were able to basically take those shots because a fighter's defense can help his chin? You know, is a fighter's chin basically all biological and physical, or is this something that you can compensate for by fighting correctly?
Nah, man, you know, either you got a chin or you don't. Plain and simple, man. You know, there's nothing you can't train your chin to get, like, stronger or anything like that. You know, either you got a chin or you don't. That's the plain and simple thing, you know. The thing is, you know, with Travis Walker, man, that was, you know what, dude, that was a perfect right hand right down the pipe, you know. It hit me, it connected me, and honestly, I didn't know I was down to my knee until I was on my knee. And, you know, my respect squad, you know, he got me, dog. He just hit me.
Right,
and
right.
As far as Jamil, you know, he was strong. Real strong guy, don't get me wrong, but, you know, he was going to have to hit me with a lot more than that, you know, to put me down. You know, Travis Walker, that one punch, you know, wasn't the one. He hit me with a solid a hook that had me, you know, was out of it for a little bit, and that right hand just put me down.
I got a caller from Puerto Rico, Rob Riddler. Go ahead and ask your question to Chris and Henry, brother.
Hey, man, great performance the other night. Congratulations.
Gracias.
I just want to ask you something. Can you please kick Nikolai Valio's ass if you ever fight him? Just please kick his ass.
You know, there's another thing. If I beat the crap out of Valio, man, I might have a clause in the contract, and we got to shave his back. gonna have to be like, you know, like Lucha Libre back in the days, like hair against hair or hair against mask. We're gonna have to do that, man. We're gonna shave his back.
You gotta shave that back, dog. Because you know what? The back doesn't match the head. The head is shaved and the back is hairy. You know what I'm saying?
Ridiculous.
I gotta call her for a
Neanderthal.
Yeah, man, tell me about it. I got a caller from area code 973. Go ahead, 973. Give you your name, where you call it from, and ask your question.
Yo, it's Christian, FutureBox92, Dave. What up?
What's up, brother?
What's up, Chris? Just wanted to say, you know, good win. Last Saturday I saw you. You're one of my favorite fighters in the heavyweight division. And wanted to ask you something. What do you think... what makes you think that you're ready to take on one of the Klitschko brothers? Like, what makes you think you'll be ready to take his, you know, jabs and everything? Because that's what mostly he does, you know. He just sticks his hand out and that's it.
Well, you know, you got to work your way around it, man. There's always a way around it. You know, Damian Brewster did it. So did Corey Sanders, you know, to Vladimir. And the blueprint, like I said before, it's there. You know, all I got to do is just follow and fight my fight. The problem is that people fall into fighting Klitschko's fight. You know, after a while, after they can't get their way in, they're done. They're like, oh, you know, they're like, fuck it, I'm not going to try no more. You know,
right.
Me, a dude, I'm a hard-headed dude, man. I'm the kind of guy that, you know, if it's hot, I'll touch it, and I'll touch it, and I'll touch it, and I'll touch it, and I'll keep touching until it's not hot anymore.
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, let me ask you this, man. Coming up in the rankings and stuff, you know, you were obviously a light heavyweight in the amateurs, you know. What are some of the influencing fighters, bro, that you were watching when you were younger?
Well, when I was a kid, you know, of course, being Mexicano, I was always a Julio Cesar Chavez fan, always. My whole life, my whole career, you know. Of course, you know, I love the Reyes brothers, you know, Chicanito Hernandez, and, you know, another thing, you know, I hope he gets better, you know. And, you know, my dad used to make me watch, like, a lot of old stuff, like with Salvador Sanchez, Mantequilla Napoles, fighters like that, you know, from back in the days.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, right now, let me ask you this. You know, I'm not really sure if you've ever had a chance. I think you did say one time a while back that you were sparring with James Toney. Is that true?
Yeah, I sparred with James Toney, Haseem Rockman, and I sparred once with Klitschko, brother.
Which one?
With Vlad.
Really? And how did that go? How did that experience go with him?
Well, the first round, I made the mistake of trying to box him, you know. And at the time, I only had 3 fights. So I went to camp. It was me, Henry. We were there. Dude, it was so eerie, man. Like I don't know, man. It was really creepy. I don't know. Well, anyways, I'm in the ring, and I'm sparring, and he hits me with the hook. And he hits him with another hook. And I come back to the corner and I tell Henry, I'm like, this motherfucker hits hard. Then Henry tells me, Henry goes, don't get hit. I'm like, all right, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I wanted to get hit by the guy. But the second round, you know, I just stayed in his chest. And that's when I noticed that he does not like being, like, inside at all.
Caller from area code 352, state your name, where you calling from, and go ahead and ask the Nightmare and Mr. Henry your question, brother.
Hey, what's going on? This Blood. How you doing, man? Nightmare, what's up, man? It's good to see some spark back in the division. I'm pretty much I'm a historian, so I'm going to stick with, is there any heavyweights that you looked up to growing up, since you a heavyweight now?
You know what? To be honest, the first heavyweight fight that I ever, like, really paid attention to, that I watched, like, from beginning to end, and I was, like, really intrigued, was Riddick Bowe against Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
And I was a kid, and I remember thinking, damn, I never want to be a heavyweight. But Riddick Bowe was a great fighter at his time. You know, at his prime, when he was really doing his thing, he was a great fighter. But, of course, you know, Lennox Lewis, he was also, you know, how can I say, he's not looked up to as much as he should be.
Would you say that he was the last true heavyweight champion? Because I've heard people say that before, that they ain't really had no champion, heavyweight champion, no king, you know, since Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, but by far, it has to be, you know, Lewis, you know. He fought who he had to fight, and, you know, it seemed like he never ducked anybody. In the contrary, he looked like Riddick Bowe was ducking him. you know. So he fought who he was supposed to fight and when he was supposed to fight. And my dude, I respect Lennox. He's a big mother, man. I met this guy. This guy has huge hands.
Chris, let me ask you, between you and Henry, how strong is your guys' bond? You know, because, you know, you've heard, I know you've had heard the criticism that so many so-called sport analysis have said that you guys need to break apart.
Oh, no, man. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for Henry, man. You know, outside the ring, dude, we party, we hang out, we do whatever. But, you know, when it comes time to go in training, man, we're in training mode. We'll even go to a bar, and I'll sit there and I'll drink water, and he's right there drinking his beer, you know. We're friends, and if at the ring, you know, I respect him. He tells me to do something, I do it. You know, outside the ring, he tells me to do something, I tell him to go screw himself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Henry, you know, having the hottest American prospect, you know, heavyweight right now, I mean, that's a lot of weight, brother. How do you deal with it? How do you work around with that right now?
It feels good, you know. It feels good to know that, like I said, to know that we've gotten to a point where I know a lot of people in the business that I know and truly respect Tony. You know, you're never going to get anywhere with this guy. So, in the same sense, it's exciting. It's kind of rewarding, but you know, we're looking to do a lot more than what we've accomplished. You know, this is just a start.
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, you know, you had Larry Merchant, man, and Larry Merchant, you know, I mean, I know if you're a Latino, everybody knows. Larry Merchant has always said some pretty brave stuff when it comes to Mexicano fighters and stuff. But you caught him off guard when you told him, what do you think? Why did you ask him that, man? Why do you care what he thinks?
Because, you know what, I fight for the fans and I fight for the critics and I fight for all the media. You know, I like proving people wrong. You know, when somebody thinks that I should have done something, and after I'm done doing it, I want to know what they think about it. You know, let's put them on the spot. Let me interview, you know what, give me the mic. Let me interview you, Larry Merchant, before you fall asleep on me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And then, did he give you his due after? Because, you know, he didn't give you an answer, man, right away. You know, when you got him, you did catch him right there, and you got him stuck in the mud. For a minute, he had to think about it, and he just said, and he kind of drifted away. Did after you guys off the camera, did he finally give you your due or no?
No, yeah. He, every time I see him, he always gives me my respect, and he tells me, you need to do this, you need to do that, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for Larry Merchant. You know, he's been around boxing for a long time. But, you know, after the fight, after the Paul Williams fight, that's when he caught me off guard, you know. Basically, he called me the savior of boxing. I'm like, man, no pressure there, buddy.
Hey, man, let me ask you, what's your prediction right now with David Haye and Vladimir Klitschko? And do you feel the older Klitschko is avoiding you?
No, I don't believe he's avoiding me. You know, the older Klitschko even said it out publicly that he wants to fight me, and that's why he put a petition out because they want him to defend against Moskayev. And then he's telling the WBC, I'm like, why am I going to defend against Moskayev? Nobody wants to see me fight this guy. You know, he put a petition out so he's able to fight me. So I believe we're going to get it done. Me and one of the Klitschko brothers, we're going to get it done. But I'm not really worried about that. And as far as David Haye and Klitschko, I really think that Klitschko is going to slap him around. I think this is the one fight that he's going to come in kind of like really motivated, because I was reading about like how he comes in with like his shirt and his head and all this.
Right.
I think Klitschko is really going to hurt this kid.
Really, man, you know. Well, we'll have to see what happens. So, what do you think about David Haye, man? Have you ever met him personally?
Never met him.
Never met him? But the guy's a fast talker,
what?
Man.
You know what, dude? He's a pretty guy, though. I ain't going to lie. He's a cute dude. Dude, if I was in prison with him, I'd make him my lady.
Hey, man, he does got that. He does got that.
I'll be walking around the chair, making him hold my pocket.
Chip producer, what, brother? Hey, he does got that Denzel Washington kind of stigma about him, man. He does, you know. Hey, Dave. I mean, come on, hey, Dave. I'm calling myself out of this shit. Hey, Chris. let me ask you this, man. Emmanuel Stewart, when Emmanuel Stewart says this guy can give my fighter problems, is he giving you a heads up already that he has a feeling you could beat his fighter? Because he's done that before. When he was training Nassim Hamed, you know, and Barrera finally got to go to fight him, he gave it a heads up like, yo, we're going to lose this fight. Did you get that off of that?
You know what? He's giving me my respect and my just dues. That's it. That's just only what I take it. You know, I don't, like I said before, dude, I really, you know, people like telling me, oh, good job, this and that. I don't let that go ahead. I like listening to people tell me, you fat mother, you better stop eating that. You know what I mean? That really gets me. You know, I'd rather hear somebody tell me, criticize me than give me, you know, all kinds of props. You know, props, you know, who cares? You know,
right.
All the props and everybody hanging out on my jock, I'll be weighing 300 pounds.
Hey, man, let me ask you, what are you eating right now? What is it right now? What's part of your eating regimen when you're training?
Oh, I'm not training right now. I just had a burrito with a chile relleno. Oh,
right.
Dude, it was delicious.
That sounds good. That sounds good, man. What's one of your hot spots? Is it home or you go somewhere?
Oh, no, I eat everywhere, dude. It don't matter. I might go
have
some sushi tonight or something. You know, nah, man. You know what? I'm in love with food.
Hey, man. You know what? I'm gonna let a couple more guys ask some questions, brother, and I'll let you guys go because I know you guys are busy and I know you want to, you know, relax, man, after your Saturday night, you know, victory and stuff. Chris from Sacramento, go ahead, brother, and ask Chris and Henry another question, brother.
I just want to know kind of, you know, where you guys see yourselves in a year from now, Ichi, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I would assume for a year from now you guys are definitely going to go into the Klitschko fights, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to see where you guys would like to see yourselves in your career at in a year's time from now.
Henry?
Hopefully, we would have gotten a Klitschko fight by then and hopefully defending it against somebody, whether it be a Klitschko rematch, a David Hay fight, anything like that, but hopefully a Klitschko fight and obviously victorious.
No, yeah, of course. You know, I agree with Henry, you know. But I ain't throwing hopefully, you know. It's like a year from now we're going to be defending the title either for the second time or for the first time.
Hey, Chris and Henry, let me ask you this, man, you know, because I've argued with so many MMA fans, you know, about this, and I always say that the casual fans that left boxing went to MMA, and I believe that once we get an exciting heavyweight, which I think we're talking to one right now, and brings back the crowns back here to the States, the MMA fans, the casual fans will come back to boxing. Do you guys feel like that? Do you feel that that's the one of the reasons why you see MMA rising so fast?
You know, of course, you know, not only that, you know what, the thing that MMA has done, like Dana White and his whole thing is that when he puts on a pay-per-view event, he puts on 3-4 fights that people want to watch, you know, that are intrigued to watch. That's
right.
What we have to do as boxers and boxing promoters and stuff is put on, like a car like myself and Paul Williams. Come on now, dude. Paul Williams is exciting. You know, I'm excited,
right.
You know. Now add another name to it. You know, you can add any name into it. Put a Andre Berto on that card. You know, oh, my God, you know, they'll be like, wow, that's a great card, and they're going to want to buy that pay-per-view card.
Right,
and that's
absolutely.
What it is. That's what boxing has to do. It's of course, you know, the heavyweight division usually drives boxing, and, you know, I'm going to do my part, but the promoters got to do their part and put great fights together that people really want to watch.
Absolutely. David Chin, Solarplex writer, go ahead and ask your question, brother.
Yo, Chris, I got another history-related question for you. Why is it, do you think, that a lot of the heavyweight fighters today are not as competitive as some of the older ones? Like, can you break it down a little bit stylistically, like things they're not doing in the ring, maybe like the kind of punches they throw, you know, they should be throwing, just anything you can think of, man.
You know what, I think that, you know, back then, man, more pride, the more, you know, the more boss of the wall attitude, you know, the more like a effort attitude, you know. Now it seems like they want to be cute, and they want to live the internet era, you know, with dazzle and show and all that stuff. You know, they forgot that boxing is a sport. You know, it's a barbaric yet gentleman sport that two guys are going at it. There's no flash into it. You know, we're not trying to do no 360 windmill dunk.
Absolutely.
You know, they think that we're this is N1 boxing, you know. No, there's no N1 in boxing.
Absolutely. Blood from Florida, brother, go ahead and ask your question, bro.
Yeah, man, I wanted to know how important is it that we have a unified heavyweight champion? Because when you go out there and you have five heavyweight champions, people tend to get confused and a little turned off. Don't you think it's important that they hold some kind of a tournament or something in the heavyweight division so we can have one guy at the top?
It's extremely important, very important. You know what? By all means, let's just take three of the titles on, just have one. But you know what? The thing is, I don't think we will see a unified heavyweight champion because the way the politics in boxing is, you know, it's horrible. These politics are so crappy. Like this fight with Hay and Klitschko, you know, they're talking about, like, if Hay beats Klitschko, then he has to have a rematch with either Vitaly or Vladimir. And if he beats them, then he has to have a rematch with somebody else. You know, these contracts are ridiculous nowadays, you know?
That's
stupid, man. I just don't get that.
Do you think Hay even deserves a shot though? I mean, because he ain't really did nothing as no heavyweight, and already he getting a shot.
He talked his way into it. That's what he did, man. He talked his way, and you know what, dude? Honestly, people do want to watch it, but you know, does he deserve it? Who knows? I don't think so. I honestly don't believe it. He just beat one guy in the heavyweight division. I don't think. What do you think, Henry?
He beat a faded Monty Barrett. That doesn't qualify
yep.
you for a world title shot. Monty Barrett, who was knocked out by Cliff Kowser. No, obviously he doesn't deserve it. But like you said, it is what it is, and you know, hopefully, I really hope Vladimir slaps him around.
You know, man, I don't know, man. I kind of see, hey, you know, coming in and just being a force for them for the if he doesn't knock out Wade in three rounds, then it's gonna be Wade, you know. Because I tell you what, I'd like to see you and Chris and David, man, mix it up too. I think that'd be a great fight.
Oh no, he's already beating up Chris in sparring. He dropped Chris. Chris went crying out of the gym.
Hey, is that right, Chris?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I don't know. I wasn't there when that happened, but that's what I'm hearing.
Oh, man, I never knew you went up there, man. Up to what is it, London, where he's from, or some shit.
And I don't even got a green card.
Oh, man. And Rob Riddler from Puerto Rico, go ahead and ask your question, brother.
With all these big heavyweights coming in, you know, these guys seem, you know, just a lot bigger. And it's, in the old days, usually the smaller heavyweights dominated. But these heavyweights now, they're averaging like 6'5", all this and all that crap. You know, you got Nikolai Valiev, who looks like one of the, you know, Empire State Building and some shit like that in there. So do you think they should make a super heavyweight division?
Nah, man. You know, all it is, man, it's the evolution of man. Plain and simple, man. Like, look at these linemen, dude. Look at these linebackers that are running like 4'5", 4'6". That's crazy, man. A big 6'6", 270-pound guy moving that fast. You know, that's a freight train, man. You know, but you know what it is, dude? It's just the evolution of man, dude. We're just getting bigger and stronger and faster. Plain and simple, man. And, no, there's a heavyweight division, and that's the way they should keep it, just heavyweight. No super heavyweight, you know, that's, you know, putting too much.
Hey, Chris, you know what? Fred Oquendo, man, had his shot with James Toney, and everybody saw that, you know, Oquendo won that fight. Let me ask you this. And you know, being a Mexican-American, Mexicano, the Mexicans versus Puerto Rico has always been a big thing in boxing. Do you kind of hope there's going to be a rivalry like that for yourself in your career?
You know what? It's going to be me against the world, plain and simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. Hey, Chris, Henry, thank you very much. I bugged the shit out of Henry, guys, so to get Chris on with us and Henry himself, man. So thank you, Henry, once again, brother, for getting me the nightmare, man, on the line with us,
hey,
man. It was
hey,
great
you know
having
what?
You guys on.
First of all, yeah, let me say, dude, it was a pleasure, man. You guys are cool as hell, man. And you know what? Whenever you guys want me on, just give Henry a ring, and I'm more than I'm be more than happy, man. It is real cool. It's real.
Hey, Chris, knock the motherfuckers out, dog.
We do, man, for sure.
Henry, hey, brother. Well, thank you, brother. I'll talk to you soon again, man. Chris, keep it up, man. It was a pleasure all talking to you, bro. All
right, man. Take care.
All right, all right, man. Well, there we go, brothers. You know, I didn't want to announce it, you know, because I wasn't really, really sure, because I know that, you know, Henry and Chris themselves, man, are just really busy, you know, and coming back from doing their thing, you know what I mean? They could have been tired and stuff, but, you know, they came through, you know what I'm saying? So, we were starting off about a recap with Paul Williams and Wicked Wright Blood. Since I got you in the line, what are your thoughts about that fight, man? How do you think that fight went around?
Man, honestly, I feel that Winky Wright did a good job considering he had been off for a couple of years and his age. I just think it was Williams was just too talented, too young. And, I still think Winky Wright's a major player in the sport, but right now it's Williams' time to shine.
Let me ask you this about Winky. You know, the commentators, man, I don't know how you guys feel about it. They only gave him one round out of the whole match. I mean, I saw him at least winning, you know, four rounds, man. You know, another thing, too, you know, everybody was talking about that his legs weren't there anymore. I don't know about that because, to me, if your legs are shot, you're not going to be able to jab in so hard with anybody. And he was able to jab in with a long, lanky Paul Williams and catch him with that straight right jab. What do you think, Chris, from 916?
Yeah, I think, you know, Harold Letterman, he's the scorer for them, you know what I'm saying? He's just a guy that always seems to go for the aggressor. You always notice when he's given his criteria, he goes, you know, like effective aggression and whatnot, so he always favors the guy who throws more punches. Yeah, man, Wright looked good, you know what I'm saying? That was just, aside from being gone for so long and maybe the age difference, honestly, you know, it's been said before, styles make fights, you know, kind of like with Shane Mosley, Winky Wright. I honestly think, you know, regardless of time, place, whatever, I just think Paul Williams has a style that would give Winky trouble, and he'd probably beat him every time.
You know, let me ask you guys this. You guys, was it me that just saw this? But it looks like if you throw a short hook, a right hook or even a left hook, you can land on Williams all the time, man. I mean, you know, if Winky had a little bit more power, and he was sitting on his punches, you know what I mean? He wasn't, normally he'll be backpedaling and he would have that peekaboo style and take a step back and then return. But he was trying to walk him down and get Williams to kind of slow down. But he was catching him with that right short, right hook. And I got the impression that if you have a little power, you'll be able to do a little bit more damage to him. What do you think, Rob Riddler?
Where is Arthur Abraham? I'm joking. You know, I don't know. It's just Winky Wright is not a big puncher to begin with. But yeah, you're right about that hook. It's just the way Paul Williams finishes and the motions he goes through and his combinations. You see how he interprets a lot of upper body movement into his combinations, and basically after he throws that left cross, he seems to line back up and, like, you know, stand up straight again, and that just basically, if you time it enough, you can just land the left hook all day or the right hook all day.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to announce some sponsors that we have before we move on and stuff. You know, 8-Ball Bail Bonds, address is 431 Monterey Street, Hollister, California, 95023. It's any jail, any bail. Toll-free number is 866-910-2245, man. If you ever get locked up, and like I've said it before, as a hardcore boxing fan, you know we act a fool when we get drunk and we're rooting for our fighter. And when we leave the place, sometimes some of us either get in a car when we shouldn't be, or we end up getting into some mix that we shouldn't be doing either because we think that we're in the ring ourselves. So if you do get into trouble, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds, okay? Also, you know, there's a network that supports us, so we got to support them, www.standandfight.com. And then there's www.boxingaddicts.net. And they also have another good thing out there, too. It's a ringtones. It's called www.boxingringtones.com. So you guys can all check that out, you know. Let's go back, man. Let's talk about Chris the Nightmare. It was great that he called in, and, you know, great guy, man. I'm really interested in seeing what he can do with the Kaliskos because after seeing what he did with McClain, man, it made me a believer, especially when I heard him, you know, especially thinking this, that Vladimir is a laid-back fighter now. It just doesn't seem like he has that extra drive to really try to take some risk takes with any heavyweight out there. And if Chris just applies that pressure, because even though a lot of people criticize Chris's weight, that guy just got some stamina on him, man. I mean, I don't know, Blood, what do you think, brother? I mean, is it just me, or is that dude just, he's just like a nonstop energy bunny?
Man, James Toney put it right a long time ago when he said that boxing is not bodybuilding. Boxing, some of the greatest fighters, some of the greatest heavyweights didn't have Atlas bodies on them. Larry Holmes, Muhammad Ali. So there's been a lot of Riddick Bowe. There's been a lot of great fighters who didn't have that kind of body. That's just his body. That's just the way he's built. Yeah, he does. He has a lot of energy, man. You know, and if he just sticks to his training regimen, I think he'll be okay.
I don't know. David Chen, what do you think about the whole, you know, body issue, the weight issue? Do you think it's a major, major concern, or is this something that people are just going to have to get over with and realize that this is what Chris looks like and this is what you're going to get?
I think people are going to just have to live with it. I mean, you look at some of these guys who are really in shape, really in good condition. You're talking about Shane Mosley. You know, he's a good example. Floyd Mayweather is another good example. These guys, they lace up gloves when they're like 5 years old, and they've been in the gym ever since. You know what I mean? That's the only way. Like, there are no shortcuts. I mean, Chris, the kind of fighter he is, the kind of history he's had with his career, this is the way he's going to look, and it's going to be very hard from now for him to look any way other than this. You know, he's a big guy, and honestly, like, until we see him go the distance, we won't really know exactly how his stamina is, but I don't see, you know, it's one of those, like, a little bit too late kind of thing. Like, he's going to look like this. And for better or worse, you're
going to
have to live with it.
But see, the thing is, some people could be in shape and they look like that. And they're in good shape. And it's just their body. That's just their body type. I know it's true with Floyd Mayweather and them, but those guys are in small weight classes. They have to make the weight. So, of course, they have to – heavyweights have an advantage. They don't have to starve themselves. And they could pretty much fit into their body a little better.
Absolutely. I was about to say that too, Blood. I'm glad that you touched on that because that is true. These guys are a lot smaller men, so they need to cut down and shave their bodies in order to keep themselves in a particular weight division to compete. You know, who right now, Blood, let me ask. Blood, first off, man, you know, to me is the Black Bert Sugar of boxing, a historian guy, man, knows his history left and right about boxing. So, Blood, I got a question for you, man. When it comes to Chris the Nightmare Oriella, who in one comparison of a history fighter from back in the days can you compare him to right now?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I think he brings something new to the table, man. I think that there's nobody to really compare him to. And I think it's too early to draw those comparisons at this point because he's not even a heavyweight champion yet. So at this point, it's really hard to draw those kind of comparisons until we see him in championship level fights. So we have to see that first, and that's why I'm having so much time to struggle. I want to say Joe Frazier or Holyfield, anyone, because he hasn't been in enough competitive fights yet to draw those comparisons.
But wasn't there a guy in the Joe Louis era that was called, like, Two-Ton Tony or something like that?
Nah, he don't compare to Two-Ton. Two-Ton Tony is totally – he wasn't even a real boxer. No, that's a bad comparison. Yeah.
Paul Williams right now, man, look at Paul Williams right now had his domination over Winky Wright. Where does Paul Williams go from there? You know, I know he's talking about – you know what, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you why I'm a fan of Paul Williams, man, first off, because I like the fact that this guy's willing to go to 168 and all the way down to 147 and to face anybody. And I know he wants his crack at Sugar Shane Mosley, but where does he go from there for really? Realistically, should he go after Sugar Shane Mosley or should he go after an Arthur Abraham? I think I'm going to pass this one on to Rob Riller. Go for it, brother.
Sugar Shane Mosley would be way too much of an easy fight for him. He's not going to gain. The only thing he can possibly gain is a lot of hate from it. You know, I don't really, you know, I'm not really too much of a fan of Paul Williams, but that'll just be like a Calzaghe Roy Jones scenario.
An easy fight, though? Do you really think that'd be an easy fight? I don't see that being an easy fight at all.
Well, because, I mean, like, if you look at it, when when Shane Mosley was in his prime, he always had trouble with guys that knew how to use their reach, knew how to use their size, and he would get picked off by guys like Forrest, guys like Wright. He would get picked off by them all night long. And Williams is just way too damn big for Mosley. And Mosley is just, I'm going to say right now, Mosley did not fool me with that Margarito fight. He's going to have to do something else because he looked horrible in the Mayorga fight. And that Margarito fight could have possibly been that Margarito was so softened up by Cotto. And Mosley just finished off Cotto's plate.
My brother from area code 973, brother, wasn't able to catch your name, bro. It was a lot of noise in the background. Go ahead and state your name again.
Yo, it's Christian, Future Boxing 92.
Future Box, I thought it was you, brother. How you doing, man?
Yeah,
my
yeah,
bad.
What's up?
I'm good. Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Let me ask you, do you agree on that, man? Do you think it's an easy fight for Paul Williams facing the Sugar Shane Mosley?
I kind of, I'm going to go with yes, because it is true that Mosley has had trouble in the past, like with Forrest and Wright. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to be that easy because even though, I mean, Margarito's taller than Mosley, and Mosley just, wow, you know, it was a very impressive. And if Mosley sticks with Nassim Richardson, I think he could beat Paul Williams, and especially if he lands hooks on Paul Williams, sort of like if he does something like Carlos Quintana did in the first fight with Paul Williams, I think Mosley can pull it off. But that's what I think.
Yeah, you know,
I don't agree, man. I think it's going to be it'll be hard, man, because, number one, he has to drain his body back down to 147 pounds. I mean, how many times can he do this? Can he keep going down and up and down and up? Eventually, that's going to take its toll on him. I think he needs to go for the bigger fighters at this time.
You know what? I got to agree with you, Blood, because I keep thinking that, too. Like, how many times can this guy do this? How many times can he torture his body going up and down? Because at one point, your body's got to say, you know what? Fuck you. You're going to listen to me for once. You're going to do what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to lock your ass down, and you're not going to be able to move so I can teach you a lesson. You know, I hear what you guys are saying about Sugar Shane Mosley and all that, but you know what? I'm going to go on the fence on this one. I'm going to say this. If they do face each other, and hopefully we'll be at the Staples so that I can just, you know, drive over there to watch the fight, man, rather than flying to Vegas. If they do make this fight happen, first, I think it's one of the most intriguing fights in the welterweight division at the moment, to me. That's my opinion. I think it'll be a great, great fight between them. But I'm going to say Paul Williams is outpointing them. Then finally, because of the fact that Paul Williams does not use his height, and he likes to dip down to land those body shots, I'm going to say that's going to be a recipe for Shane Mosley's overhand right to come up over the top, land, and knock out Paul Williams. Woo. So I'm going to go with a late knockout. Sugar Shane Mosley takes it, man, and leaves us stunned once again because I've said it once before, do not challenge this king in L.A. because that's his home turf. And Paul Williams has been challenging him in the Staples. He said, I'll fight you at Staples. Come on, make the fight happen. So that's one thing I'm going to say. I don't know. David Chan, what do you think, bro? Am I crazy? Have I been drinking? Has the alcohol kind of run all the way from the weekend to Thursday night?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, if Paul Williams fights Shane Mosley, he's going to have to come down and wait. And Shane Mosley's holding all the cards right now. You know, Williams wants to fight with him. Shane doesn't really want to fight Williams, so Shane's going to be like, come down to 147 and fight me, you know? So you take that and you take the fact that Shane's got one of the most sneaky right hands, and Paul Williams' defense, I'm still not so sure because he hasn't had enough fights. I mean, it's like what Rob Ritter said with like Mosley himself. It's like, hey, you didn't fool me with this Winky fight. Like Winky just got outworked, and you didn't really show me too much. So can Shane Mosley win that fight? Yeah, at 147, at 154, maybe even. And he's got the tools. He can work Williams' body. I don't know how he'll take that. He can tie him up. I don't know how he'll take that. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of questions out there.
We got the ever most exciting Gamboa fighting on Showtime, getting a shot, man, and finally at a title. What did your guys thought about? He's fighting against Rojas, you know, which is a pretty tough fighter. This guy's not a guy that's going to really, I don't think, in my opinion, is going to give him the easiest fight in the world. I think it's going to be a great test. What do you think, Chris? 916, Chris?
Yeah, it'll probably be his toughest test to date, maybe, aside from that first fight he had on HBO. but his team's not going to put him in with anyone that's a threat or a perceived threat to beat him, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's called Showbox for a reason. It's almost like a showcase, you know what I'm saying, for these young guys. And, I don't know, I mean, Gamboa, he's obviously going to try to go out there and look impressive. He always does. What he needs to do, you know, the main thing about looking at this fight, the main thing about checking out this fight is to see if he's improving anymore on his defense, you know, so he ain't so open, keeps his hands up, so he ain't so reckless, because eventually when he faces someone, you know, top caliber, although I don't know who in that division is going to do it, but he's going to have to, you know, tighten up his defense so he don't be taking them shots I've been dropping them in the past.
Absolutely, man. What do you got to say about that, Blood? What do you think about this fight coming up with Gamboa having his first shot at a title?
Yeah, I think this is a good fight for him, but like Bruce said, I agree. You know, he tends to get a little wild at times, man. You know, he definitely needs to settle down into this fight. I think he's an exciting fighter, but you know, we still need to see more from him.
Future boxer, what do you got on this fight with Gamboa coming up, Rojas?
I think it's going to be a good fight for Gamboa. I'm going to be rooting for Gamboa. I'm a fan of his, but yeah, I'm going to agree with everyone that he is going to get caught, like, with Rojas. Like, I think he's going to go down because he's been going down the past last fight. But he needs, you know, he has speed and he has power. But one thing he needs to do is, like, just don't drop his hands. And his chin is suspecting, too, because, you know, he's been down. But, you know, I guess, you know, he really... I don't want to say he doesn't have heart, but, you know, he gets back up, you know, and then he goes and knocks out the guy out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it takes hard to get back up, and it takes a good stamina, you know, regimen to get back up once you get dropped and stuff. But, you know, I think a lot of the things of Gamboa getting dropped is because of the fact that he's so off balance. You know, they've been comparing his balance to Nassim Ahmed, and I got to agree on that. You know, his balance is really, really bad. It's his footwork, too, because he's so in tune about throwing those hands, man. He's got some quick hands. I don't think his feet catch up necessarily with his hands, you know. David Chen, what do you think?
I do agree with you on all the, you know, technical aspects. I think his game is not really that good yet. He's got a lot of experience, you know. He has a short pro career, but his amateur pedigree is there. I think he's a little bit rushed. I think this is kind of an early title shot for him, but I also think he can probably win it. It's just, you know, it's like you said, he hasn't really been given a reason to kind of tighten up his game a little bit. It's with all these hot prospects that you always see this. You know, they always fight in this flawed but entertaining way. And until somebody really exposes them, they're not really going to be convinced to really have to go to the gym and, like, go back to the drawing board. You know what I mean? So maybe it'll be a good learning experience for him. Maybe he'll get a title. Either way, it's good for him.
Got our sponsors, man, that are paying the bills. You know, 8-Ball Bail Bonds, 431 Monterey Street, Hollister, California, 95023. Toll-free number, 866-910-2245. Any jail, any bail, man, if you get any trouble. In the nation, if you get any trouble. In the nation, if you're in New York, Florida, if you're in Georgia, Mississippi, don't matter. 8-Ball will go down and bail your asses out and stuff, because we know if you're a boxing fan or if even you're an MMA fan, you act a fool. As a matter of fact, speaking about MMA, I went and covered my very first MMA event, Strikeforce, which was Nick Diaz out of Sacramento, California, versus a San Jose boy, Frank Shamrock, man. And I got to tell you this, you know, Chris is a MMA fan, and Chris covers the MMA department for us for there will be bloodfightshow.com. I went to it, and I enjoyed myself. But really, man, I was a guy walking around in the dark with no flashlight. You know, I was kind of lost about all these names and all these guys that were fighting. But, you know, I was kind of educated pretty quickly with the other guys that were there that were covering the sport themselves. So first MMA that I went to, and, you know what, they treated me with open arms, man. I was open about the fact when I was there that I'm not an MMA fan, and I don't know anything about MMA. I'm a hardcore boxing fan, and boxing is where it's at for myself because I believe boxing is a lifestyle. It's not a sport. You know what I'm saying? To me, boxing, you got to have it in your blood in order to be a fighter. Blood, am I wrong or am I right? What is it?
You're right, but it's interesting you bring that card up because I had the privilege of watching it on TV. I don't know if anyone else watched it, but there was one point where Shamrock and Diaz, they were going at it, and the commentator was like, these guys fight as good as any professional boxer standing up. And I was just thinking to myself, like, I don't know if they're seeing the same fight I'm seeing. I mean, it's an exciting fight, but I don't know if they're got the techniques, the stand-up techniques of a professional boxer. I don't know if anyone else watched it on TV. But
you know what? I had a chance to watch that last night, and I heard it. I heard the same commentary, and I kind of laughed. And I don't know what it is. Maybe the commentators don't watch boxing, or maybe it's just because they're trying to make it such a selling point to the non-boxing fan, or let's say somebody that doesn't really know a lot about boxing, and just by some chance, being up late at night and having a couple of brewskis, come across the Strikeforce. First off, Strikeforce was good. I did enjoy it, but like I said, I was a little lost to the whole thing, but when I heard them say that, I'm like, is this just a marketing deploy for them? Chris, maybe you can enlighten us a little bit. Do you believe this is just a marketing deploy for them, kind of put up a whole font in front of everybody so they kind of, you know, put the cover around not such of a casual fan to get them more involved in the sport?
Well, first up, you'd have to be up drinking late to think that their technique look anything like a boxer top-notch, but anyways, no, you know what? That was just Pat Miletich on the commentary. He's a fighter. He's a former fighter. It's just hyperbole on his part. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to, you know, make MMA fighters look good. His exact comment, to paraphrase it, was, I think Nick Diaz's technique looks as good as any boxer, top-notch boxer right now. Absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Not true. Nick Diaz,
right,
one of my favorite fighters, not even close to any top-notch boxer as far as technique-wise. He's just, you know, trying to pump up MMA fighters because he is an MMA fighter, you know what I'm saying? So that's all he's doing. You know, it's kind of like you sticking up for boxing in an MMA argument. He's sticking up for his guys. But, you know, the other announcers, I think, are educated enough not to go out there and run their mouth and say things like that.
You know what, man? If Nick Diaz was on the line, what do you think he'd be saying? Do you think he'd be like, man, fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about. I am as good as one of those boxers.
Oh, of course he'd say it. You know, and he probably believes that, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, truth is the truth. I mean, you know, actually, you know, this is funny. I've read online that he said he'd like to fight Roy Jones, and Roy Jones says he'd be open to that. And, you know, if he ever steps in there with Roy Jones, I don't care how old Roy is, he'll find out what's what.
Right, absolutely. You know, like I said, I did have a chance to cover it. Future of Strikeforce, I don't know. I think they're doing a lot better. I had my chance to interview Tito Ortiz and Royce Gracie were there, you know, among other MMA stars. I didn't have my chance, man. I wanted to interview Gina Carino. Man, I would have loved to interview her and stuff, you know. She was looking
hot.
Beautiful. Hot woman, man. You know, just sitting there. Just, she had that look, too. Like, she had that look in her face, like, please, Latino man, take me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, no, it wasn't me. She, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, she, of course, they had to have some cock blockers there. You know, I'm not going to name their names.
You are, bro. You are, man.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. Hey, for a minute, I was like, yo, check this, you know. But I could see cock blockers there and stuff, put up their swords, man, and just, you know, fended me off and stuff. And I don't do that sport either. Like I said, it's boxing. No cock fending. I don't do none of that shit either. So, man. So I didn't have my chance to do that, but I did have a good time. Like I said, I had a great, great time and stuff, but it just wasn't my serving of alcohol, man, there. You know, I was really out of the limb out there and stuff, so I'm really looking forward to sending somebody else to cover the MMA events. Chris, you know, like having Chris go out there and cover it. But needless to say, I'm not saying I wouldn't go to another event of the Strikeforce. I would, because I did have a great time, and I was educated about what was going on there and stuff. And I'm going to say, that girl, Cyborg, woo! Man, is she something else or what? You know, I don't know if you guys remember Lucille Riker. That's who she reminds me of, but in the MMA world, you know? She's ruthless, man. And that's who Gina's supposed to be facing up against. And, man, I'm going to have to put my money with the beauty, you know what I mean, against the beast. So let's move on from there, man. Let's talk about some other fights that are coming up, you know? I'm really interested about what you guys have thoughts about Carl Froch versus Jermaine Taylor. Who takes that fight? Blood, tell me who you think takes that
man.
Fight, brother.
You know what, man? I'm going to go with Jermaine Taylor, bro. I'm going to stick with Taylor. I think that, you know, Taylor was just tailor-made for Pavlik. But I think that he's went a long way since then. He needed that loss. And he seems dedicated. He looked really good when he fought Jeff Lacy. I'm going to go with Taylor to win this one. Don't get me wrong, Pop's pretty good, but I'm going with Jermaine Taylor. Bad intentions all day, baby, on this one.
Jermaine Taylor. You know what? I'm going to go against you. I'm going to say a Carl Froch knocks him out. I'm going to tell you why. Okay, you're right. Taylor May was Taylor May for Pavlik, you know. But I don't think Jermaine has changed up his style at all. I think Jermaine has kind of pretty much stuck to where he's been at since unifying the title, taking the titles away from Bernard Hopkins. He still has a habit of walking himself back to them ropes, you know what I mean? Like, you literally don't have to push him back. He does it on his own, and I think that's just going to be a recipe for destruction facing a Carl Froch, who's a heavy-handed puncher. Not the fastest puncher in the world, but very heavy-handed guy. And really, speaking to Carl Froch and hearing him speak and reading interviews and other articles about him, he really wants this fight because of the fact that he wants to bring out Joe Calzaghe, Sloppy Joe, back into the ring so that he can get some sloppy seconds, you know, with him. I don't know. David Chan, what do you got on this fight?
I think I like Jermaine Taylor in this fight, even though I...
Ooh! Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, man, I mean, I'm saying, like,
Jermaine
fought a lot of people. So he did real well in the second fight against Pavlik, and, I mean, Carl Froch, I give him props. You know, he just got his belt, and he's staying busy. He's taking the belt overseas to try to get some big fights, to try to make things happen. Because the rest of them guys at 168 are not making anything happen. You know, Boutte's got his belt in Canada. He's sitting on it. Like, Kessler's got his belt, I think. He's over there in he's from Denmark. He's sitting on that. So somebody's got to go and make something happen. That's a really exciting division, but nobody's doing anything. You know, Jermaine Taylor is pretty athletic. If anything, he can beat Froch if he lets Froch tire out, because Froch looked real tired at the second half of the last fight. He had to go on his jab. He kind of stood there. You know, he kind of hangs back a little bit too much, too. You know, even if Jermaine backs up a little bit, I think Carl is going to stand there and look at him and not really walk forward. He's not one of those guys, you know, not to me anyway. So I think Jermaine beats him down the stretch.
Yeah, that's the best fight he fought was Pascal. I mean, other than that, he beat guys like Robin Reed, and, you know, I don't think he's fought anybody like Jermaine Taylor personally.
Absolutely. I know. I agree on that. I don't think he's ever faced the same type of oppositions that, you know, Jermaine has faced, but I just think that he's coming with so much hunger for this fight that it's just going to be his night. Future boxer, you know, future boxer, go ahead and let me first ask you, what's up with the future boxer? Why future boxer? Future. No future. Okay, Rob Riddler, go ahead, man. Throw me your points.
I'm gonna let the hater in me shine, and I'm gonna say Taylor is gonna knock Carl Froch out and he's gonna put him on his ass.
Boo!
Bum. Bum. Pascal's the only good fighter he fought, and the only reason Pascal lost that fight was because Pascal chose to go toe-to-toe with Carl Froch, and Pascal can't hit for shit.
Right.
Pascal cannot crack a fucking egg, so I'm going to go with Taylor. He's going to put his ass down, and, you know, he can Carl Froch can spend the rest of his career living in Calzaghe's shadow, because that's what's going to happen.
Man, hey, let me ask you this. And now that the England guys... UK guys or fighters are coming up, you know, and they've been coming up pretty deep. You got David Hay, Ricky Hatton, you got Carl Froch, even Joe Calzaghe, even though he's in a short time retirement, in my opinion. But these guys are coming up strong, and their mouth's actually pretty good. These guys talk a good game. I mean,
tell me why boy signed on David Hay like that, though, man? He signed on Hay, bro. Talking about him making his girlfriend and stuff, that was funny. That's me. Hey, that's the kind of personality we need up in the heavyweight division.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's the attitude that I think most Americans love. You know what I'm saying? The whole gangster attitude. You know what I mean? I've heard that so many times. That's what's ruined American boxing is the gangster attitude. But that's the attitude that you need. I mean, look, I mean, let's not forget that this is a sport, man, where these guys get in and they literally take punches to knock each other's heads. You know what I mean? They literally throw punches to make your kidney bleed, you know, so they can make you pissed for a week. I mean, what are we looking for? I mean, Lennox Lewis, by all rights, was a great, great heavyweight, but he wasn't the most intriguing or exciting heavyweight because of the way he would carry himself in demeanor. His demeanor was not evil at all. When you heard Iron Mike talk about he wants to eat your babies and I'll praise Allah, shit. For some reason, I walked away with a heart on. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to watch this fight. And it's going to be rough. I ain't going to take a breather in it. You ain't going to see me take a water break. You're just going to feel rough. I don't know. David Chan, what do you got, man?
I don't think Chris's attitude is too bad, man. He just says funny stuff. You know, he's got a good character. You know, he
absolutely.
He's like willing to kind of like, you know, jive off of you a little bit and talk with you. You know, he's a very personable guy, and we always need that. You know, that's welcome and everything. He's a guy you want to hang out with. He's a guy you want to see in the ring. He's a guy whose interview you actually want to listen. You know, I was watching the fight at my man Buddha's house, and like the fight ended. All the Chris is about to get interviewed. You should listen. He'll probably say something funny. So I mean, he's not being mean about it. He's not saying anything malicious. He's just like, hey man, you know, it's all good. You know, we're talking some trash, and it's funny.
You know, speaking about talking trash right now, man, I gotta touch on something real quick. You know, I want to make a shout out to all my boys out there. You know, I'm glad that my boy Blood, my brother from another mother, is on the line. David Chan, Rob Riddler, you know, future boxer Chris 916, Stand and Fight, my boy Red. But I got a homeboy, man. I mean, I don't know which about you guys. This is a little bit off the subject of boxing and stuff, you know. But it is in the little subject of boxing too. How many of you guys go out? Not in your house. Don't watch the fight at your house, but you go to a pub or you go to a cantina or you go to a bar to watch the fights. You know, I got a lot of homies that do that, and I got a call just a while back, and one of my boys told me, yo, I want to go see the fight of Samuel Peters, you know, at a bar. And the bar is a local bar here in Modesto, and it starts with a D. And they 86'd him because he was there rooting for a particular fighter, and there was another group that was rooting for, you know, Chambers, right? And they got into an argument. And rather than let him just finish the argument about who was going to win that night, they 86'd my boy. How fucked up is that? I mean, you go in there and you're spending money. And this is a guy, too, that goes in there, man. He literally spends about $400 or $500. He's a baller, you know. Goes in there, he drops his ducats and stuff. But how much of bullshit is that, that you're going to 86 a guy because of the fact that he's rooting for a particular fighter, and then you get upset because he's not agreeing with you, and you decided 86. And then they kept his – he had like a $750 pool table stick, and they kept it and won't give it back to him. What kind of shit is that? You know what I mean? I mean, that's bullshit, you know? It's just like – you know, it kind of reminds me of the same guys that go on YouTube. And there's a guy, too, that was on YouTube that's a bitch that can't – you know, I'm not going to even say his name and shit, not give him the privilege, but he's a bitch. He was making videos, and then he closes his account because he's a little slut. He can't even man up and shit when the truth comes out. The dude has to close his account. That's the same type of guy. I think that's the same type of bug that we have in this world that I like to see squashed. What do you think, Blood?
Hey, man, I think personally that if somebody got a problem, they need to just go on and keep it real, bro. I mean, if you rooting for your fighter, you rooting for your fighter, man. If anybody don't like it, hey, that's too bad on them, dog. I know when I'm betting my fucking money, I'm going to root for my fighter. You know what I'm saying? If somebody got a problem with that, man, hey, there might be a fight after the fight. But if somebody, you know, if somebody got something to say about somebody, man, just go ahead and say it, man. You know, don't never take the weak way out. Don't close accounts and shit. Just be real with it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And don't open up another account trying to be a faceless little bandit and shit and try to hit people's videos one star. Rob Riddler, I know you feel me, dog, because I know you've been in the same position before and shit, being the most controversial man on YouTube. Do you understand my pain, brother? Do you understand why I'm so upset and why it fucking hurts me that this guy closed his account and didn't even give me the chance to fucking rape him on YouTube?
Yeah, man, I'm feeling the pain, you know what I'm saying, man. YouTube is not the only site I get hate on. You know, I go to Justin TV and shit like that, and I be getting banned left and right on fucking videos and shit like that, just banned from the website and stuff. You know, I get kicked off websites, and for saying shit like, oh, Camacho was an all-time great, these dudes banned the shit out of me for that, you know. And they're just haters, you know. You can't really do much about them, you know. You just got to keep on doing what you do, and there's people that are going to love your videos, there's people that are going to love what you do, and there's going to be dudes that just hate because they can't be like you.
But you can go to Walmart now and get a camera for $30 and come on vid and mix it up with us, man. That's what I'm saying. So stop sending all these hate mails and all these faceless YouTubers coming at us and stuff. I think it's funny. I just think it's, you know, a lot of them, I think, be making videos and they just be scared to say what they feel like they want to say. And I feel like a bunch of them just be a bunch of pussy-ass motherfuckers. That's just how I feel about it. You know, if you want to be real and bring it.
You know, man, I got to say, I do enjoy it. I like it. I am a guy that enjoys controversy. Yeah, I'm one of those type of Mexicans that just enjoy rivalry. It's just one of the greatest things, in my opinion, but because it keeps me sharp. It keeps me going and stuff like that. So when I do see this, keep doing it, because to me, it's funny. It's funny that I literally don't let you sleep, and whatever I say, you're going to hang off of. You know, Chris 916, I know you got your share of bandits out there, brother, that you want to pull your sword out and chop their heads off. Come on, man. Let it feel. Drop it and shit. Preach to me, brother.
Nah, man. I just get a bunch of anonymous shit, but you know what I'm saying? The thing is, if you're going to criticize and talk shit, at least have a fucking point. Don't say, you know, you don't know shit, your hair sucks, fuck you, you're not Mexican. You know what I'm saying, man? You know, say something like, yo, man, you were wrong, you know, Winky Wright didn't do this, Paul Williams didn't do that, you know, your prediction was wrong. Don't just come on there talking shit, you know what I'm saying, just saying nothing about nothing, you know what I'm saying, and you know, saying, you know, I say, you wouldn't say that to a fighter's face when they're dissing fighters, and they're like, oh, yes, I would. You won't even fucking show your face on YouTube, so you damn sure ain't going to say it to nobody in person. So, you know what I'm saying? Just man up. If you got a criticism, you know, keep it real, and don't get mad when I pull your card, you know what I'm saying, because I get the upper hand on you. Just take it for what it is, you know what I'm saying? Go back in your room, tuck your tail, and move on.
Hey, exactly, and that's another thing. A lot of people, they come and they drop hate mail and stuff, and they don't even have a point. They just want to take a shot at you because they don't like your personality. But they don't want to break the fight down. They just want to say, oh, it sucks. Oh, you got your prediction wrong. You didn't get your prediction right. So the fuck what if I didn't get my prediction right? Nobody gets all their fucking prediction rights. You know, and when people come on there and say, oh, I've been watching boxing since I was 4 years old and I got every prediction right. You know them motherfuckers are full of shit. Ain't nobody getting all they fucking predictions right. They could kiss my fucking ass. Fuck them.
You know what? That's another thing, man. I just got to vent out and stuff. And this is the beauty about this boxing radio show, brother, that we all of us here on the show right now, we've created. It's called Leave It in the Ring. Let me say this. If you're going to do a show, stop saying, I know boxing because I watched it since I was 5. That don't mean shit. That just tells me how stupid you sound when you say something like that. Stop saying that, please. It's a turnoff, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know. Is it just me? David Chair, what do you think, brother?
No, you're right. I mean, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. You guys be the judge. But I've only been watching boxing for like about a year, like 2 years, something like that. Like not even. So, I mean, I had to go back and do my homework on, like, the old school boxing stuff. I only started watching boxing when I got involved in it more, you know.
Right.
But it's like, you know, I think I know a thing or two. And it's like some of these other guys, you know, I get shit on my page, too. And it's not even creative. It's like Chinamen don't know nothing about boxing. It's like, all right, I guess you're right. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, you skinny bastard or something. Like, what does that even mean? Like, what's that got to do with what I was saying, you know? Like you don't even have videos of yourself up on YouTube, you know. I'm a good-looking dude. That's why I put my face on the internet. You can't say shit like that.
And then you go to their account, and you notice they just opened the fucking page that day. You like, damn, dog, you went through all the trouble just to open up a fucking page today and make a comment on me. I mean, what kind of coward would do some shit like that, man? I mean, you just fucking created the account today, so obviously you went through the trouble to open up an account just to make a fucking comment. And all I'm going to do is block you and delete your ass any fucking way, so make a video. To me, I'm not responding to nobody who don't make videos no more. Now, when you make a video at me, I'm going to come at you with full gear. Make a fucking video. That's what I say.
Absolutely, man. I got to agree on that, you know. And it cracks me up, you know. And I know that right now what we're talking about, I'm pretty sure the dudes that hate on us are listening to this show. And I know you, dude, the guy that really doesn't like me, he likes to you know, talk a lot of noise. Well, get your shit back up, man. Give me the shot. Let me have that shot. You know what I mean? You didn't even give me the chance to take that title away from you and shit. You know what I mean? I don't want to see if you can make my crown touch the ground. I want to see what happens next. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to go on a little short break, man, and after we get back from the break, guys, because I got to go and use John and shit and relieve myself. We'll get back on here and continue what's going on in boxing, and hopefully our next special guest calls in.
All right, man. Don't hurt yourself.
Leaving in the wings.
Go ahead. Who's this?
Yo, David Chang.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA, and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leaving in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest any
yep.
event on everything, every concert, anything. That was the most, and that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed. Along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao, selling out.
Leaving in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, for everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not gonna pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room. If you look on, there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can. Okay, man, well, we're back and stuff. I hope everybody's still there. I hope everybody went and did their little piss break and stuff. Sponsors, the guys that pay the bills for us to have the radio show up. 8-Ball Bail Bonds, 431 Monterey Street, Hollister, California, 95023. Toll-free number, 866-910-2245. Any jail, any bail in the nation. If you act a fool and you get locked up and you need somebody to come and bail your ass out, man, yo, give these guys a call. They'll come and get you. Doesn't matter if you're in Florida, New York, if you're in Mississippi, Texas, Califas, it doesn't matter where you're at. Oscar De La Hoya in Boxing News, guys, has retired officially. He's finally came out and says, I'm done. I can no longer do this. I just don't have it in me anymore. I have it in my heart, but in my reflexes, it's just no longer there. When my body betrays me, it makes me, it's not fair, he says. It's not fair. David Chen, when a guy says it's not fair, what exactly is he, what does he really mean by saying it's not fair?
I think it's different meanings depending on who, you know, he said it's not fair to me and it's not fair to the fans. I think when he said it's not fair to the fans, obviously it means it's not fair for us to have to, you know, pay and watch him, you know, either fight a fight that he can't win, you know, see him not do his best, you know, can no longer perform at the top level, or watch him cherry pick an opponent who's tailor-made for him. That's not fair to the fans. Not fair to himself would be, I guess, is that thing that, oh, the great athletes compete anymore. One day you got to realize that the best is behind you. A lot of people had a hard time letting go, you know, Muhammad Ali got, you know, great example of that. So, you know, that's what not fair to him is.
Hello, you still there, Dave?
What?
Blood, tell me, what do you think, man? Not fair for obviously he was saying something in between the lines that for somebody to come to read. Not fair. What is he talking about?
Well, it's not fair. You know, I think that, you know, it's not fair for him to put himself through and his family through that anymore. And it's not fair to all the fans who supported him over the years. Oscar De La Hoya has made his mark in boxing. He will continue to make his mark. He is a legend. He has done some great things in the ring. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he can still beat some top contenders out there. It's just Pacquiao was a bad style matchup for him. I even was wrong in that fight. I said that he was going to rape Pacquiao, and, you know, Pacquiao ended up, you know, getting the best of De La Hoya. But De La Hoya has made his mark, man. He's fought so many great fights, and I think there just comes a time where you just have to hang it up, and he realizes that his time is now to hang it up. And why hang on to something, you know, when you just don't have it in your heart anymore?
You know, man, finding out his announcement, a lot of people text me, and they're like, yo, Golden Boy retired. My boy from Stand and Fight, Art, I think he was the most, he was really distraught about it, man. He was so hurt, and because he turned off his phone, and he didn't want to talk to anybody, you know. He was just like, man, I can't deal with this pressure right now, D. I know Rob Riller, too, was real crushed about the whole fact about,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
Oscar De La Hoya hanging up them gloves and stuff. Because, you know, Rob Riller kind of resembles a little bit of Oscar, you know. go ahead, Rob. I know you told me, you hit me up, you're like, man, I don't know if I should get on the show, man, because I don't know if I can keep my composure. Go ahead, man. I seen you able to keep your composure. Tell us about, what is your thoughts and what are your feelings about seeing the Golden Boy shelfing it up finally?
Oh, yeah, man, I was really depressed, man. I was breaking out the brewskis. I was ready to cut myself, man. I was thinking, oh, man, I was calling family, telling them it was all over. I don't know. Well, I could barely control myself. But on a real point, this shit been happening since the Bernard Hopkins fight. I was waiting for De La Hoya to retire because it, you know, as much as I bash on De La Hoya and, you know, call him, you know, a pussy and shit like that, and you know, you gotta respect any man who steps in the ring, and he has his legacy. It was damaged when he lost to Pacquiao, to be honest, because that's pretty, you know, ouch. But I'm glad he retired. He did us all a favor. You know, we don't have to see no more of these, like, you know, bullshit fights. You know, and all these, like, he's just hurting himself. He's not really hurting anybody else. He's just hurting himself because we're gonna keep watching Oscar. If he fights, I'm not gonna lie, I'll watch Oscar's next fight if he fights. The only thing is I'm not going to get hurt if he loses. He's going to get hurt if he loses. His legacy is going to get hurt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think his legacy is already hurt. You know, stand and fight, my brother Art. I'm just kidding. He didn't say that, man. You know, but he did give me a heads up about it, and he did post the video conference of what happened with Oscar De La Hoya's retirement. Future Boxer, are you back with us, brother, or you still can't talk?
No, I'm bad. My bad. My phone died. That's why.
So what's going on, man? What do you think about Golden Boy finally hanging up the gloves and walking away from the sport that's made him a multimillionaire?
Well, you know, it is true. You know, I'm kind of glad he retired too, because, you know, it was, if his time was up, you know, his era is over, you know. But I will, you know, I'll miss Oscar because, you know, he fought one of the best fighters ever since he was young, like Trinidad and, you know, Sweet Pea Whitaker, but you know, like, I don't know who said it, but, you know, we don't have to keep watching Oscar fight, you know, one of these bullshit fights, you know. And he is hurting himself, you know. You know, I don't think I would like to see Oscar again fight anyone. But, you know, that's what I think. But I'm glad he retired.
916 Chris, man, what were your thoughts, man, of seeing Oscar De La Hoya? First off, Chris, let me ask you this. Was there at least one fight left out there for Oscar before hanging up the gloves, in your opinion? Or do you think Oscar just, you know, he did it. The timing was this right now.
All right. First off, maybe what he was trying to say was sorry for is he's sorry he charged over $100 for those last two pay-per-views. He ain't sorry to give back the people's money. But anyways, man, you know what? This is a perfect time for him to step away. He's in a no-win situation. He comes back and fights someone competitive, he loses. He comes back and fights someone like a Chavez Jr., easy fights, you know, Sergio Mora, hypothetically, and wins. He's going to get ripped because everyone's going to say, oh, you just came back and took a, you know, nobody, but you couldn't beat nobody. So there is a no-win situation, you know what I'm saying? The best thing for him to do is just step away, you know what I'm saying? While, you know, he's still got his, well, I don't know if he's got his pretty looks, but because Pacquiao effed him up pretty bad, but, you know,
right.
It's a good time for him to step away from the game. There's nothing out there for him. I can't think of one fight I'd want to see him in, you know what I'm saying? One compelling matchup. Maybe Miguel Cotto, but he'd get killed, you know what I'm saying? So it's good for him to walk away like he did and, you know, just go off into the sunset and hopefully do some good shit with the promotions.
Dream match of the year, brothers. Dream match of the year. What is considered your guys' dream match of the year? Future Boxer, do you got a dream match out there that you're hoping that's going to happen before the end of the year?
Well, yeah, I would like to see a dream match with Zab Judah and Paulie Malignaggi. And the only reason I say that is because their styles are kind of alike because Zab's fast and Paulie is fast too. Now, Zab is fighting, I think, before the fight with
May 1st.
Yeah, May 1st. So I want to see, you know, if he still has it because, you know, he's, I think, 31. You know, I think, you know, he's still, you know, young enough to fight. And Paulie's young, too. And I think it'll be a good fight, you know, if it wasn't, it took place in New York because they're both from, you know, Brooklyn. And I would like to see a fight because, you know, they're both fast and they kind of have similar styles. And Zab did call out Paulie, but I don't know. I think that's one match I would like to see.
You know, Paulie's fighting too. I think he's fighting next month in May also, or I believe it's the end of this month.
Undercard of the Jermaine Taylor and Carl something
Frotch.
Fight.
Carl Frotch fight. Okay. I don't know. In my opinion, I think Paul Malignaggi is done. I didn't see the same Paulie when he fought Ricky Hatton. I saw a very submitted Paulie, somebody that was just there to get hit and just kind of walk away with his paycheck. I didn't see the same slickness or the same determination. But okay, that's your dream fight. Rob Riddler, your dream fight, brother. What makes the bet wet for you?
I have to say Juan Manuel Lopez versus Edwin Valero, if that could by any means happen, or Valero versus what's this dude's name, Gamboa.
Ooh, yeah.
Valero versus Gamboa. Shit, no, because that would be murder, but Gamboa would get killed on Juanma versus Gamboa.
Ooh, what do you guys think about that? Anybody want to touch on that? Come
forget
on.
Forget that, man. I mean, first off, let's see. He said Valero, right, against Juanma. Let's see this in July, this Valero against Brandon Prescott fight.
Prescott.
You know, see if Valero gets through that first and then see what
Who wins that fight, Chris, in your opinion? I want to hear what you think. I'll tell you what I think after, but who wins that fight and why do they win that fight?
Oh, man. You know, I haven't seen a lot of Prescott. I've seen him fight a couple times on ESPN, the Amir Khan fight. You know, I know Amir Khan got caught, and Valero has got his head up there looking to get knocked off like a piñata. You know what I'm saying? And Prescott's definitely got the length and the power to do it. But I don't know, man. Valero's record is just insane. With a guy like that, until he's beaten, it's kind of hard to pick against him. But that's a fight, man. That's a toss-up because you could make a case for either dude winning.
Rob Riddler, what's the height of Prescott, bro? How tall is he?
That dude's like, he's probably like 5'11 or something like that. He's pretty tall.
That's what I thought. 5'10", 5'11". Yeah, that's my thought. And Valero is what, 5'8"?
I think he's 5'. Yeah, he's probably like 5'7", something like that.
Yeah, 5'7", 5'8". Okay, so, Chris, recap real quick. There you go. So, Chris, who wins the fight, man? I'm not really sure. I didn't get a real definite of what your opinion was on who wins.
I'll go with Valero only because, you know, until I see him beat, I'm not going to pick against him, but... I mean, it's not going to be shocked if he gets knocked out, you know what I'm saying? Because everyone always points out his weaknesses, especially his head up there in the air, waiting to get, asking to get clocked in. Like I said, Prescott's got the power and the length to do it. But I'd go with Valero, but, you know, it's a toss-up. I wouldn't put money on it.
Blood, what do you think, brother?
Prescott seems to be one of them type of guys who will spoil the party, man. You know, we saw what he did against Amir Khan. He's somebody you just can't underestimate. We don't really know. I mean, I don't personally know a whole lot about Prescott, but he's one of those type of fighters, man, that I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on because, you know, he could end up being a great fighter.
Yep,
He could get the upset on this one, I'm thinking.
I'm thinking the same exact thing. I'm thinking that he can get the upset because of his height difference, and he's a good boxer. We saw it when he fought Toledo. You know that he's able to box backwards. Future boxer, what do you got on this one, man?
I don't know, man. I think Valero takes it. I think he after seeing him fight, you know, he's ruthless, man. He's aggressive, you know. That last fight he had. I'm going to go with Valero.
David Chen, what do you got? What's your take on this one, brother?
I like Prescott, and I'll tell you why. Because Prescott is so much taller than Valero. He already has a hard time tucking that chin away, and he loves headhunting Valero anyway. So when he fights somebody like Prescott, he's going to be aiming up to try to trade headshots, and he's going to be looking up. You see what I mean? And I'm thinking you're going to see a repeat of what happened to Timothy Bradley when he fought Kendall Hall, trading like that, you're going to get caught by the taller man, you know, going headhunting against him. You see what I mean? And Prescott has the power of putting you away. I haven't seen Valero's chin get tested, so I'm not really sure, but don't be surprised if he gets taken out real quick if he decides to fight that way.
Yeah,
for
Valero,
sure,
man, he's a good fighter, man, but Prescott's one of them type of guys who just has, the eye of the tiger. You know, he just seems to have that hunger in him. Whenever you see him fight, he just seems to have that hunger. Like, he's trying to get a name for himself. He's hungry. So he's a dangerous fighter right now.
You know, what do you think? Fight ends with a knockout between these two? I mean, these are two pretty big punchers walking in. You know, I mean, these guys are both going to be looking for a knockout. Even when Prescott fought Toledo, he was still looking for the knockout, but just that Toledo was so determined, he was able to take a good shot that it made it a much more tougher fight than is suspected by a lot of people. What do you think, bud? Knockout by one of these guys?
I think this fight is going to definitely be a knockout, no doubt about it. And, you know, man, because of his height and everything, I'm going to go with Prescott to get a knockout in this fight, mid-rounds.
Mid-rounds. Rob Riller, what do you got, knockout or by decision?
KO first three rounds by little.
Let me throw you another wild card, man, of a fight that's going to be kicking off. And really, I think this is a great, interesting fight for a fighter out there that I finally think is going to be getting a test worthy. You're going to see Juan Manuel Lopez out of Puerto Rico facing the Filipino fighter. Oh, my God. His name just slipped out of my head.
Gary
What's
Penalosa.
Going on? There we go. Gary Penalosa, who I think really a lot of people are sleeping on Gary because Gary's such a specific boxer. Rob Riller, man, I know, you know, we mean you have talked about, you know, Juan Manuel Lopez. What is your thoughts about this fight coming up, man? What is your take? What do you think is going to take it, and why are they going to take it?
I'm not going to sleep on Gary, but, you know, the thing is that Juanma said in a post-fight conference that he was going to purposely make his next fight last a few rounds, and he was just basically going to carry the guy. This might bite him in his ass, and he just talks so much shit you guys do not know, but you watch this Puerto Rican TV, this dude talks shit. Oh, my God, but, you know, he's very disciplined. I'm going to go with him probably by a late TKO or just a pretty much controlled decision.
What do you got on this one, David Chan? I think this is probably one of the best matchups for the month, really competitive matchup in my opinion. What's your take on this fight?
It is very good. I see Juanma Lopez as probably the best of the prospects right now, even more than Victor Ortiz, honestly. I think Juanma is honestly a very good package. If he wants to, I'm going to say he wins this fight. I don't see why he shouldn't, you see what I mean? Like, late stoppage, I don't really have too much to say on it. Like, I just don't think, like, Gary's going to stop this man from moving forward.
Well, what do you think about that, future boxer? What do you got on that take?
I don't think, I really don't know Gary Penalosa that much, but I looked at his record, and I think he's, like, 37 or 36. But I don't think he's going to stop Lopez. And Lopez is a very, very good fighter, and he's younger. I think he's 25. So I think Lopez is going to knock out Gary, but I think it's going to go, like, around the 10th round. He's going to knock him out.
I'm going to go with Lopez. I'm way more familiar with Lopez, and it's just hard for me to go against Lopez. You know, I'm not as familiar with the guy from the Philippines, but I'm going to go with Lopez on this one.
You know, Gary Penalosa, man, is a veteran fighter. This is a very slick fighter, and if you guys remember correctly, he's the guy that got the late knockout over Johnny Gonzalez, you know, was able to put him down and stuff. And, you know, Gary, to me, too, is a guy that really, honestly, you know, I've spoken to Freddie Roach about it, and he tells me Gary has made a prediction on his own saying he's going to knock out Juan Manuel Lopez. And when he said that, even Roach said he's fucking crazy. But he said, can he outbox him? He probably can. It depends, though, in how well and perfect the night is for him. I took it as when somebody tells me that, that means in what matter, meaning that he's got to have the perfect game plan to fight Juan Manuel Lopez, who's probably one of the most gaming prospects, like David Chen said, at the moment, or scorecards. They're hoping it goes to the scorecards so that it kind of favors up to their end. Because we got to remember this, Lopez has been knocking everybody out that's been put in front of him. And if you're a Lopez fan and you've been watching Lopez, you've been crying to see him fight some better opposition stepping in the ring. Because when you get somebody and you're able to knock them out, the rounds don't come in and you're not getting them rounds that you need. So that if somebody does be able, somebody that's able to take your shots, you got to see whether you can get into that deep water and if you're ever going to be able to swim out to reach another dock. I'm going to say, though, regardless that Gary Penalosa, it to me is a sleeper and could possibly upset a Juan Manuel Lopez. I'm going to say the night's going to be for them very cloudy. It's going to rain on his parade, and he's going to probably get knocked out in the late rounds. Rob Riddler, when you hear Rhodes say something like that, saying that they need the perfect night, what do you think he's talking about?
They just need everything to be on their favor. Like Juanma, you know, he's talking about making, like, just perfectly making the fight go the distance. They need Juanma underestimating him. They need a Buster Douglas type, Mike Tyson type night to happen, where everything, for some reason unknown to the viewers, is going wrong for the favorite fighter. And you know, basically, it can happen. It can happen. But because Gary Penalosa does have an awkward style. If you've seen him fight a few times, he sort of stands in a weird way. You know, he throws his punches from all these angles. And, you know, you cannot really sleep on him. This dude is pretty aged, too. But, I mean, when Freddie Roach says something like that, it also says that there's basically no chance in hell that this dude has a snowball's chance in hell of beating Juan Manuel. So, for Freddie Roach to say that, I mean, this in his eyes, this could probably be a quick match.
Blood, what do you think about that? What's your take about what Roach said? And also, if you were the boxing god, if you were the god for boxing right now, what does a Gary Penalosa have to do to get an upset over a Juan Manuel Lopez out of Puerto Rico?
First of all, you know, I'll only take what Roach says, you know, into consideration so much because, you know, I know he's a trainer and everything, but they could be wrong too. Trainers could also be wrong.
Absolutely.
But, you know, so I consider what he said. But I think that, you know, I think, like Riddler said, it's just going to have to be one of them nights where everything is going, everything's popping right for him. And he's going to have to hope that Lopez is on an off night. And, you know, I just don't think he could beat Lopez. Honestly, I've only ever seen some YouTube footage of him, but I don't really think he could beat Lopez.
You know, before I move on to the next one, Blood, Dream Fight, what makes your bed wet at night, brother, when you think about this fight?
You want my dream fight?
I want your dream fight for this year. What's the fight that you're hoping is going to happen, man, that needs to happen in your opinion?
Okay, I'll tell you what it is for me. I think after Cotto and Claudio fight, I'd like to see Mayweather come back and fight the winner. Maybe he needs to get a warm-up fight first, but I'd like to see Mayweather first. Any of the top competition. My dream match is for Mayweather to fight a top-notch fighter in his prime. Whether it be Cotto, whether it be Claudio, even Sugar Shane Mosley. For me to see Mayweather come back and cement his legacy. That's my dream.
Blood, I asked for a dream fight. That's a threesome. That's what you're looking for. Not a dream fight,
yeah,
man.
They want to be any top contender. How about that? That's what I want to see. Mayweather versus a top contender. That's what I've been wanting to see ever since Mayweather's been proclaimed as the pound-for-pound king. That's what I've been wanting to see. Mayweather fight a top contender. If I have to throw one out there at you, I'll say Mayweather-Mosley. How's about that?
Mayweather-Mosley. I would love to see that fight. I think that fight needs to happen, but I doubt it's going to happen because of the fact of the money issue. How big of a crowd does Mosley bring? I mean, it's a known factor. He doesn't bring a big money crowd. I mean, Chris 916, we've talked about this. Come on, can you elaborate a little bit on what I'm talking about?
Oh, wait. What on what my dream fight is, or about Mayweather-Mosley?
Mayweather-Mosley and about the funds that are required to bring that fight alive.
I think they could make it happen because if you notice, a lot of these fights aren't on pay-per-view this year. You know what I'm saying? But it'd be up to Mayweather. You know what I'm saying? I think Mosley, he's kind of sacrificing money.
But Mayweather wouldn't want to bring it on to just a regular HBO. He needs
a big
stage.
No, I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying a lot of these boxers have been, you know, we're not seeing a lot of pay-per-views because they know that the economy is down and whatnot. Mosley's the kind of a guy that's fought for lesser paychecks, you know, on the smaller stage just to get the fights out there. But it's all on Mayweather, you know, whether or not he would compromise to do it. And with his ego, you know what I'm saying, it's hard to say whether he would or not. I mean, I don't know, man. That dude's got his head up in the sky way too far for me to think that he'd actually give HBO.
It's just a dream, baby. It's just a dream.
Absolutely, man. My dream right now, the fight that I would want to see is Manny Pacquiao versus Mayweather. If Manny gets past Ricky Hatton, I'm hoping that Mayweather comes back and fights the pound-for-pound king. Because, realistically, I don't think money's going to fight any of the big boys. I don't think he's going to go after Miguel
Cotto.
That's
318, boy. That's a 318 right there.
Hey, well, you know what? That's a three-way. That's a three-way that's more realistic. You know what I mean? That's with one fight chick and one fat bitch. You know what I mean? Yours was with two models and shit. You know what I mean? Let me ask you guys this, man. You know, as a boxing fan, you know, everybody has a certain way of preparing themselves to get ready for the fight. Doesn't matter if it's a big fight. Doesn't matter if it's a little fight. Everybody has a particular way of getting the preparations to get ready for a fight. David Chan, what are some of the things that you need to do in order to secure yourself to sit down and watch a fight? Do you have a certain drink? Do you bring out the potato chips? Do you need to have the woman next to you, or does it have to be complete silence?
I prefer complete silence, man. I watch that like a Hulk, man. Like, I'm trying to see everything that's going on. Like, I score as it goes. I'm doing all that stuff. So, hopefully, like, I don't even want to talk to nobody. I want to hear the corners during the, you know, during the round. I want to hear all that.
Hell yeah.
Rob Riddler, what do you got, man? What is it, some things you like to do?
I go into my bat cave. I roll out this big-ass, like, football field-sized TV, and I just, like, get these speakers all around me, and I hear everything. I want to hear the fighter's thoughts. That's how focused I want to be on that fight. I don't want to hear nobody talking about clean the dishes, do your homework, screw that shit, I'm watching a fight. The house could be burning down. The house could be burning down, and if the round is not over, I'm not going out.
Talk about a hardcore fight fan. Chris 916, brother out of Sacramento. What are some of the things you need to do in order to sit down and watch the fight?
Truth be told, first off, I call anybody I know, friends, family, women. Don't call me from 5 to 7. I'm watching the fight. So call the phone and I get picked up. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what it is. Don't text 911. I don't care. I don't want to be bothered. You know, hopefully no one's dying. I might feel bad, but I might not. But other than that, you know what I'm saying, I just don't want to be disturbed, you know what I'm saying? Like I watch UFC and whatever with a group of people because I'm not keeping my eye on that as much. But with boxing, you know what I'm saying, I just like to watch it and focus because there's so much shit going on, like, technique-wise. And, you know, if something's going wrong, I want to hear what the corner's telling the dude. And, you know, with these YouTube videos, you know what I'm saying, I want to give the most accurate analysis pre- and post-fight because I don't want people being saying, yo, why didn't you see this? Why didn't you mention that? Not that I should give a shit what anyone says, but, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, represent it as best I can and, you know, trying to give my accurate perception of what I saw, you know what I'm saying? So don't bother me, don't call me, and don't give me no spoilers if you're on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast. Don't be giving that neither.
Yeah. Future boxing, what do you got, brother? I know you're the youngest in the crowd, I believe. What do you got to prepare yourself to do?
Man, to watch a fight like that, I wouldn't even invite nobody to come over my house. Whenever I order a pay-per-view, I'll tell all my friends to come, and even though we're all quiet and stuff, you know, I just want to be completely alone because I'll be, you know, just, you know, any pay-per-view fight that I watch, you know, I'm like, I have my volume up. I'm like, I can't even sit down. I'm just watching. And for a fight like that, I'll just tell anyone, like, no, shut the hell up, man. I'm busy right now. I'll literally say that because that fight, wow, man. Just thinking about it, it's just like, fuck.
Blood, what do you got to do, brother? I know there's a certain ritual you have to do in order to sit down and watch the fight. What do you got?
Well, my tradition has changed a little bit. About 10 years ago, it was just me and a blunt and the TV. But now, you know, I've moved on past some days. So, you know, so now I'm just going to go order me up some chicken wings, some pizza or something, some fattening shit, though, of course. and sit down by my damn self and watch that fucking TV. Fuck the phone is silent, I'm back in the room or something. I'm going to watch that fight. And then after the fight and after the interviews, I'll call everybody up. Because you know how after the fight, you want to hear Larry Merchant talking to the motherfuckers. People be talking and shit. You be like, man, I'm trying to hear what Larry Merchant's saying. Shit. You know?
You got to hear
like
Larry
by myself.
I heard that, man. Mine is this. I always make it. I go out to the grocery store. I buy some meat. Even if it's raining, it doesn't matter. I queue it up for myself. You know what I'm saying? I end up queuing it by myself. And then I buy all these mixed little ingredients because I make this drink called a chevela, which is a Modelo, a Mexican beer, and you put it, and you put all kinds of ice and chili and, you know, lemon and all kinds of stuff, and then I sit there like a big baby sucking on a bottle with my beer, and that's pretty much what I do. The kids can run, the kids, my wife can talk to me, and I won't hear a damn thing. My mind is just completely focused. You know, I have completely saturated myself into this fight of whatever it is, and there's nothing you can do. And just like Bob Riller said, the house can be burning down. I don't even care. The old lady could be in the song, and I'm going to tell her, can you please move and shit, you know? I can't see the dude and shit throwing the jab and stuff, you know? Let me ask you this, man. Everybody has their particular time when something happens during the fight. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Miguel Cotto and Antonio Margarito. In the second round, man, we were yelling and screaming. The house was packed with the whole boys, and the whole familia was in the house, and everybody's roaring and shit because the fight was just that goddamn good. All of a sudden, the power goes out. What do you do from there? What do you do from there? I know you guys have been in this predicament. Me, myself, you know what I did? I was like, babe, you stay here, you wait. Because I knew my homeboy that lived four blocks away was going to have it, so I jumped in my car without even calling, drove my ass over there, knocked at his door. He opened the door and goes, oh, dog, I thought you were going to watch the fight. I said, yeah, the power just went off, man. So I sat down, took over his chair, drank all his beer. Rob Riller, has that ever happened to you, man, or am I the only sad son of a bitch that that's happened to?
Nah.
Yeah, man, I remember I was watching the Margarito and Cotto fight at my friend's house, actually, and, you know, he was there, and, like, all of a sudden, you know, the cable, it wasn't the lights, it was just the cable cut out because it was raining and shit like that. Man, I ran all the way back home. It was raining, pouring. I ran back home. I almost busted my ass on the sidewalk. Ran back home, jumped over the gate. I had to jump through the window because the fucking gate was, the other gate wasn't open. Man, I went on the computer. I had to tell my grandfather to get off the computer because I was going to search up that fight real quick. I got that online. As soon as my friend called me, told me to fight back on, I ran back down there. And around, I think it was around 8, that shit happened again. So I had to do all that again, man.
Blood, any experience of that, man, or anything?
Yes, that's happened on not only boxing but on other sports. But the best thing you could do, really, is, like, try to find a live stream or something. You start getting on the computer. But one time this happened to me, like, over 10 years ago. I think it was the Roy Jones-Virgil Hill fight. They ain't have live streams and shit back then. So I was, like, I was tripping out. I was, like, calling the cable company and shit, like, yo, y'all need to fix this shit. You know, Roy Jones is fighting Virgil Hill. Shit, hurry up. But it came back on, though. About 2 minutes it came back on.
Chris, 916 out of Sactown, brother. Any experience of having your moment when you're relaxing, enjoying the fight, and all of a sudden something kicks off where a distraction, you can no longer watch it. We need to do some MacGyver shit and get it back on.
Truth be told, man, it probably only happened to me once in my life, and I was at an arcade as a teenager about to beat a game after playing it all day. But, man, that's never happened with the fights. If it did, I'd be asked out because there ain't nowhere for me to go around my place where, you know, I'd have to call you up or something.
Comcast, satellite disc, or whatever you know you have, I hope you're hearing this because you need to do this to Chris because I got to see what Chris does. Does he go to the next to neighbors? Does he fucking drive to my house? What is he doing next? You know, future boxer, has this happened to you, brother, or what?
Yeah, man. In 2007 with the Hatton Mayweather fight, yo, you should have been there, man. I had all my friends. I had 5 people over my house. We're watching. Now, if you remember the first round, Hatton made Mayweather stumble, that he almost fell, and the crowd went wild. Next thing I know, my power goes out.
Oh, man.
I left all my friends. I left my apartment door open. I went next door because I knew the neighbors were watching. I was like, they opened the door. They're like, can I help you? I was like, move, please, let me stay here. I want to watch the fight with you. And they were like, what the hell? I was like, my bad. And then I explained to them, listen, my power's out. My friends are over. You know, they chipped in money. I don't want to give a refund. I want to watch this fight. Please, let me stay. And they let me stay. I was like, all right. And then we all ended up watching the fight. And I was like, what the hell? And I caught back. I went back in. I found out that my friend snuck out, and he almost ate all my freaking chips. I was like, you fat ass? And, oh, man, it was crazy. But it was such a great night.
Sponsors that pay the bills in order for us to keep this boxing radio live show, Leave It in the Ring, on for all the hardcore fans to tune in and listen, and we can get these interviews with all these fighters. 8-Ball Bail Bonds, 431 Monterey Street, Hollister, California, 95023. Toll-free number, 866-910-2245. Any jail, any bail in the nation. Get in any beef, call these guys up. Doesn't matter what state you live in the nation, they will come and get your dumbass out. You know what? Check out some new boxing websites. There's the one that's almost like MySpace, okay? It's www.boxingaddicts.net, man. You can get on there. You can get some tunes on there, put a profile, bids. You can blog, meet other hardcore boxing fans. It's just pretty much a network. And if you need some ringtones, go to www.boxingringtones.com, and you can get some boxing ringtones to your phone and stuff. It's a pretty good thing, man. You guys got to check it out. You know, I'm going to tell you guys a funny story, man, about what happened to me one time. You know, being a hardcore boxing fan, there's always something that kicks off, especially when you got a pay-per-view. You know, this is when Teal Trinidad versus Bernard Hopkins were going to face each other, okay? And I invited all kinds of people to come over and watch this fight because this was an anticipated bout, you know. This was a fight that, man, I was really like, yeah, this is going to be a good fight because of the fact that Bernard Hopkins had taken the Puerto Rican flag and threw it on the ground. So I was like, yo, Tito's going to drill this dude and shit for doing this, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of pride in that. And we're there, and we're waiting for the network to kick on the pay-per-view event, and it doesn't come on. I don't know if this has happened to anybody else, you know. And my house is full. Well, it's probably about 20 heads, okay? 20 Mexican motherfuckers in the house waiting for this fight. Already been drinking. Now, if anybody, your homies has got to be like, if you're a boxing fan, your homies are more likely or almost similar to all boxing fans is. You're drinking 4 hours before the fight. So by the time the fight comes on, you're belligerent. You're done. You know what I'm saying? You're like pretty much just hanging over, just barely making it with your eyes barely open watching the fight, but you can still remember the fight. You can't remember everything else, you know, like you fell on your face and shit. Hey, dog, you reached over and tried to grab my lady. You don't remember any of that shit, but you do remember who won that fight. So everybody's drunk already, and the fight doesn't come on. So I'm getting on the phone, man, and I'm calling, you know, I can't remember exactly who it was. Oh, Charter. It was a Charter network. I used to live in Hollister, California at the time. And I was trying to get through them to find out how come the fight wasn't up. And pretty much what it came back was, it is up. You ordered it. I said, yeah, but I don't have it on the television. So they're telling me, no, it's on 802. And I'm saying, I have it on 802, but it's not up. And I had a bunch of eyes just on me locked, cause like thinking like, this motherfucker did not even order the fight. So now we're not going to watch the fight. Well, we're already probably about 2 hours into this. What I did, they said, maybe disconnect the box and reconnect it back in, and maybe there's some signal messed up, blah, blah, blah. We cannot get a technician out there. So I took the box apart, bro. You know, took the one from upstairs, brought it back down, plugged it in. Turned out to be, the problem was, I had it, it was on 802. I had it on 801.
You've been drinking too much,
dog. Yo, the moral of the story is, don't drink 4 hours, man, before the fight kicks off. Has anybody ever experienced something like that where you got everybody in the house waiting for this for a particular fight and something goes wrong and the eyes are all locked on you? David Chen?
Yo, I was just about to say, man, I was over at my boy's house and we were going to order a Codo and Margarito, okay? So he's like, all right, come over here. We got this. So and this man lives like a good half an hour away from everybody else. So we didn't think about this ahead of time. Like, if his house fucks up, we got nowhere else to go before the fight ends. You see what I mean? So we go over there. He's like, yo, I got this shit ordered. Turns it on, blank screen. I was like, what's up, man? And then he's like, all right, let's go to the cable company. And the cable company's like, hey, man, it's your mother's account. You better get her on the phone. And he's like, shit, mom, I got the phone. And I was like, So I was like, all right, I guess it's meant to be, you know?
Right, right. That is funny, man.
I'm going to say this, too. Come May 2nd, right, Manny Pacquiao and Ricky Henn, if, like, Ricky Henn, like, drops him in the second round with like, a body shot and, like, the power goes off in Budasai's house, me and Budasai are going to be so mad that you were talking about this shit for, like, 20 minutes a day. I'm going to be like, Dave, like, I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. That's how bad it is. I don't want to talk about it.
You just jinxed it for me, man.
You just jinxed it. Why is that, Rob Riddler?
Because I have, like, the worst luck when shit happens, man. I don't know why. I'm, like, really, like, you know, how do I say, I have to do things so, like, nothing bad could possibly happen. I have to rearrange shit so, like, there's no way. No, I don't want no lightning strike in my house. I have, like, the worst luck. Oh, my God, man. That's, like, my worst. If Pacquiao drops Hatton in, like, the first round and the power goes out, I don't know what I'll do. I might just. I don't know what the hell I'll do.
You might have a fucking seizure.
I'll go to the car, fucking driving a car on the sidewalk and shit.
Man, that's a tough call, though. If Manny Pacquiao gets dropped by Ricky Henn, I don't know what else to say anymore, man. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a tough task within himself, you know. I know that it's going to be a tough fight for, hold on. Whew, man. I had a sneeze there, guys, but I know it's going to be a real tough fight for Manny Pacquiao and stuff. But seeing Manny get dropped, woo, man, that's a tough one there for me to kind of even think about and stuff. Let me ask you guys this question, man. We only got a few more minutes and stuff, you know, but we're getting into the funny points of being a hardcore boxing fan. And if you're first time listening and leaving in the ring, you got your my brother Rob Riddler from Puerto Rico, my brother Chris 916 out of Sactown, David Chin, a Solarplex writer, future boxer, man, who calls in and is an adamant person of watching the show and is a big supporter. And then you got my brother from another mother, Blood, out of Florida. Well, I'm thinking of this. What is the worst boxing fan? If you've been to a boxing event or even if you have an event at your house or you go to your boy's house, what's the worst boxing fan to come across? Rob Riddler,
Hold on, man.
Go ahead, Blood. Go ahead.
Let me just give you one thing real quick. I just want to share this, man, real fast. One time, this is for hardcore boxing fans, but I went to see a fight live. I went to the Jeff Lacy, Robin Reed fight in Tampa. And, you know, I'm chilling. I got some nosebleeding seats. And, I'm chilling with my girl, and I see some seats in the front. And I'm like, you know, shit, ain't nobody sitting there for a lot of the undercard fights. So I went up there and sat in that bitch. About, like, when the main event came, I see a guy and his girlfriend come up, and I guess it was they seats. And they was like, hey, I think you're in a seat. I was like, hell nah, dog. This is my fucking seat. I straight devoed somebody's fucking seats, man.
Oh.
That's one of my best experiences. I don't know. I just felt real good about this shit. I don't know why, but I felt good about it.
Okay, so what is the worst boxing fan to come across? Rob Riddler from Puerto Rico, what's the worst kind to come across, man?
Man, in Puerto Rico, you can find some amazing shit. You got just the bias. I mean, I'm going to put stereotypes down in boxing, but damn, there are some biased Puerto Rican boxing fans. These dudes think Tito is God. I remember talking about everybody and stuff like that, man. It's just the ones that seem to stay closed on their like, you know,
nationality.
Nationality. Like, they just seem to be glued into that own nationality of fighters. And, like, damn, like, oh, it's like, from my point, it's like one of the worst things over here because it's all about Tito. They don't even like Miguel Cotto over here. Nobody really realizes this.
You know what's funny? That is the worst kind of a fight fan to come across is one that is just so sold on their nationality. Even fight fans are not even really hardcore fight fans, but they're still sold on a nationality. I mean, one time, you know, when Roy Jones moved up the weight as a heavyweight and decided to fade John Ruiz, right, I was up in Folsom, California visiting my Aunt Irma. And my Uncle Mario was there, right? And my Uncle Mario, man, was just so adamant about saying, oh, you know, Roy Jones is going to get knocked out. You know, he's going to get his ass beat, blah, 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 because he's never fought a guy like this, you know. And I was telling him, I said, man, you know, Roy picked the worst heavyweight to face, you know. And he said, I'm telling you right now, Roy has had his share of winning because this is the first time Roy's ever going to be fighting a Mexican.
And I looked at him, I said, dude, what? He's Puerto Rican, fool. He's not even Mexican. That's the whole reason why you're rooting for
talking
Mexican.
About.
You know, I'm like,
oh,
is that the only reason why you're rooting for John Ruiz? Because you thought he was Mexican, you moron? Oh, my God.
Wow.
Those are the worst kind of boxing fans. Hey, I'm going to tell you this, man. We're going to keep up this. I want to continue this conversation for next Thursday. I am working on trying to get some other fighters to get on, and I was happy that Chris the Nightmare did call in. I did have another guest that was supposed to call in, but I guess I don't know what happened. I'll find out. I can call her right after we get off the air and stuff and find out. But we do have some other fighters. You know, Travis Kroffman is going to be calling in next week. You know, he's a heavyweight himself, and he's a rising heavyweight, undefeated prospect also. Somebody that's really we haven't really kept notice, and finally, I think a lot of us should keep notice about him and read up on his record and stuff, so we'll have him on next week. Among other fighters that are hopefully going to be getting on with us, you know, with Rob Riller from Puerto Rico, Chris 916 out of Factown, David Chin, the Solarplex writer. Hey, future boxer, thanks for calling in, brother. And my brother from another mother, Blood. Thanks, you guys, for all calling in. This was another edition of Leave It in the Ring, man. Guys, stay safe, brother. Be careful. If you're smoking the blood or drinking the beer, remember to call 8-Ball Bail Bonds. Don't slip. Don't slip, because if you do slip, you can call them at 866-910-2245. Any jail, any bail in the nation. That's a fucked up slogan. Don't you guys think any jail, any bail in the nation, man? This is a jacked up slogan, man. I mean, God damn, you know, hey, you got to make your money. So I'm not going to talk bad about our sponsors because they are paying the bills for us to keep continuing to do what we like to do, which is get on this radio show and chop it up with all the hardcore boxing fans. Hardcore boxing fans, if you got a question or you got a history question for my man Blood or you have any questions for Chris, David, or Rob Riller, you can email us at www.willbebloodfightshow.com, and you can drop it there and we'll bring it up on the next segment, and then you guys can get your direct answer. If you got hate mail for any one of these guys, well, find out what their emails are, because I get enough hate mail as it is and stuff. I don't need any more. Brothers, have a good night, man, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, man.
Be good, everybody.
All right, man. Take care.
See ya.
Even in the ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chang.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or is better, you know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Every concert, anything. That was the most people. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao selling out.
Leave it in the ring.